In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. The summons of death comes to us all, and no one can die for another. Everyone must fight his own battle with death by himself alone. We can shout into another's ears, but everyone must be prepared for the time of death. For I will not be with you then, nor you with me. Therefore, everyone must know for himself and be armed with the chief things of the Christian faith. With these words, Martin Luther started his sermon for the first Sunday in Lent in 1522. Although Luther's sermons for that week were meant to address major concerns that had arisen in Wittenberg following his lengthy absence after being kidnapped by his allies in late 1521, these words are good words for us to hear today. The summons of death comes to us all. I cannot die for you. You cannot die for me or for anyone else. So each one of us must be armed with the chief things of the Christian faith. And tonight we consider the chief thing of the Christian faith, the crucifixion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. With the cross before our eyes, let us consider who our God is and what our standing is before him. In the crucifixion of Jesus, we can see the holiness of our God. We learn from the scriptures that God hates sin. In Genesis chapter 2, we learn that God condemns all who sin to death. He says, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." In Genesis 6, after God sees the extent of man's wickedness following the fall, the scriptures tell us again, the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. It is then that God resolved to blot out every living creature from the face of the earth. In Exodus 20, when God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, he said, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." Solomon, writing in Proverbs 6, said, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers." St. Paul, throughout his collection of letters in the New Testament, has lists of things that God condemns. In Ephesians 5, he writes, "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Now, lest we think that our sins are not that bad, not bad enough to merit the kind of wrath from God that we see all throughout the scriptures, St. Paul in Romans 3, quoting a veritable litany of psalms, says this: "No one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." Even the prophet Isaiah gets into the act tonight in our reading from him, where he said, "We all like sheep have gone astray and gone after our own way." The Lord, who sees hearts, judges by what even our closest friends cannot see. If we have anger or lust toward our brother or lust toward one that God has not given us as husband or wife, we are murderers and adulterers. Thus God is holy, and we are not. God's holiness consumes sinners with an unquenchable wrath. The wages of sin is death, and the summons of death comes to us all because of our sin. The crucifixion of Jesus is the perfect picture of God's wrath over sin. In the crucified Christ, we see what we truly deserve. We deserve to be forsaken by God. We deserve the temporal punishment that he endured, not only at the hands of his own people, but at the hands of the Romans. We deserve to die in excruciating pain and naked humiliation for all to see and to mock. But even more, we deserve God's eternal punishment, right alongside the rich man who would not lift a finger to end the suffering of poor Lazarus at his gates. That is our standing before God. As the hymn says, "Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate." But in the crucified Jesus, we also see the true character of our God. We see the true character of him and what our real standing is before him. Isaiah says of the crucified Jesus, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted." Jesus is the ram caught by his thorns in the thicket at Mount Moriah. In the place of Isaac, the Lord's chosen ram gives his life for the sons of disobedience. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that has brought us peace. And it was the Lord's will to crush him. St. Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, says, "In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them." God does not count your trespasses against you because he has already counted them against his Son. This means that when God looks at the crucified Christ, he no longer sees the spotless Lamb of God, but he sees your transgressions and iniquities. For our sake, for your sake, God made Christ, who knew no sin of his own, to be sin for us. This, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is where we see the true character of our God and what our actual standing is before him in Christ Jesus. He makes his Son to be sin so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. As Isaiah says, "Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." Through the suffering and death of Jesus, out of the anguish of his soul, we are counted among the offspring of Abraham, who was counted righteous by faith in the promised Messiah. God did not count Abraham's many sins against him because Christ bore them on the cross. And in the same way, Christ does not count your sins against you because your Savior Jesus has borne them in his own body. Though the law accuses us of our guilt before God, the blood of Christ not only covers our nakedness, but it also pleads our case before the judgment seat of God, making perfect intercession for us sinners. Having been numbered among us, he makes us one of the number of the company of heaven. So when we consider the crucified Jesus, we see in him the picture of God's justified wrath over sin. God does hate sin, and he threatens to punish all who do not meet his righteous demands. But in the crucified Jesus, we also see a picture of the mercy of God towards sinners. He who would not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. That is how much God loves you. The crucified Jesus is a picture of the perfect love of God the Father towards you. And even better than that, this very night, Jesus offers you his body and blood, which bore your sins under the bread and wine of this altar. As we mark his death this evening, we go to the altar of God to proclaim his death for us until he comes again. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.